Good morning. Tragedy follows on the heels of tragedy. Parshat Shlach was a painful one, and so, of course, is Parshat Korach, the Korach rebellion. There are a number of points that I want to make during the course of this year. One is the fact that if we truly want to understand a parsha in Torah, we may very well have to look at other parashas. There may be other places in Torah that information is given to us just in passing, and it has a tremendous amount of bearing on what we're learning here. All of Torah is inextricably intertwined, and that all of Torah comes to bear on any particular place in Torah. I'm also going to want to point out the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was a great student of God, and that Moshe Rabbeinu was an outstanding, I don't even have the word for it, that's not a good word. He was an educator par excellence. The great educator. And I would imagine, now that I think of it, that's why we call him Moshe Rabbeinu. He's our Rebbe. He has such an understanding of his students, and he knows how to do it. And that's what I want to demonstrate. But it all comes as a result of the fact that I have a fascination with, you may even call it an obsession, Dasan Vaviram. Those two fellas have kept me thinking for years now. And we're going to take a look at another aspect that we touched on many years ago, but it'll get a full treatment today. So we begin, we have the parasha Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kod ben Levi ben Dathan ben Aviram ben Eliyahu ben ben Pelet ben Reuven. These people, Korach took them, and he took them, Rashi says, to stare, to be on one side against Moshe. They stood before Moses with 250 men from the children of Israel, leaders of the assembly, those summoned for meeting, men of renown, great men, 250 great men, together with Korach and Dasar Aviram and On ben Pelet. On Pelet, of course, there's a famous story that the Gemara tells us about On ben Pelet. He just doesn't appear again. He's there at the head of the rebellion, doesn't appear again. It seems that during the respite in the rebellion, he went home. And his wife didn't let him out of the house. She told him, listen, On, if Korach wins, you're still going to be On ben Pelet. And if Moshe wins, you're still going to be On ben Pelet. You have nothing to gain over here. Lig angeleicht. Stay home. Which he did. And therefore he was not destroyed. Anyway, Vayikalal Moshe v'Aaron and Aaron, we know the story. They gather against Moshe and Aaron, and Vayomer Aleihem, and they said to them, Rav lachem, it's enough for you. You've taken too much. Moshe is the king, his brother Aaron is the high priest. Kikol Heido Kulam Kedoshim, the entire community, we're all holy people. We're not going to stand for this nepotism, this a family taking over everything. All right, so here begins the great rebellion of Korach, and of course there are all sorts of reasons why it happened, and what was it that they were all searching for. But that's really going to be that's not going to be the topic for today. I have down at the bottom, and I put over there the Malbim only because it's a beautiful Malbim, it's a famous Malbim. Don't worry, you don't have to get concerned that we have to read through it all. I'll tell you basically what the Malbim is saying, because it's of such contemporary significance, and the truth is, it has always been so. The Malbim brings the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, full of the famous, famous Mishnah. Kol machlokes shehi l'shem shamayim. A machloket, a difference of opinion that is l'shem shamayim, for heaven's sake. Sofo l'hitkayim. The end is that, and it seems as though it means that it will continue to exist. The chosh machloket, and a machlokes that's not l'shem shamayim, ein sofo l'hitkayim. What it really means, nothing will come of it. No good will come of it. A machloket l'shem shamayim, so far, the end is good will come from it. And a machlokes that's not for the sake of heaven, nothing is going to come of it. And if anything, it may very well be tragedy. And then the Mishnah gives us an example of a machloket l'shem shamayim, and an example of a machloket shelo l'shem shamayim. And here, the Mishnah is so beautiful. Mishnah says a machloket l'shem shamayim, a machloket for heaven's sake, is a machloket of Shammai and Hillel. Shammai and Hillel disagreed about so many things, but it was all l'shem shamayim. And what's the example of a machloket that's not for heaven's sake? The machloket of Korach v'Hadasso, Korach and his congregation and his followers. Now, if the machloket l'shem shamayim was Hillel and Shammai, what should the Mishnah have said was the machloket shelo l'shem shamayim? Korach and Moshe. You give us the two sides. But that's not what the Mishnah did. Mishnah is fascinating. The Mishnah says Korach and all of his community. Now, but wait a minute. There's another side over here. The other side is Moshe. Moshe is not mentioned. So the Malbim explains, the famous Malbim, who explains the following. A machloket l'shem shamayim means when there is a search for truth. If the purpose of the disagreement is two serious, sincere sides are searching for the truth. So for lit kayem, the end is that whatever will be the result of the machloket, everybody's going to be happy, because since everybody was searching for the truth and we found the truth, then something of lasting value, for that matter even eternal value, comes with it. But if it's a machloket shelo l'shem shamayim, there's no search for truth. If there's no search for truth, then this machloket has all sorts of other reasons for it. And therefore, Korach v'chol Hadasso are not searching for truth. What they're really doing over here is, I can't help it, the only word I can think of is, to describe what the Malbim is saying, is that this is a coalition. A coalition of people who are opposed to Moshe. But everybody has his own interest. Everybody has his own interest. Korach believes that as the child of the second son of Levi, he is the one who should be the leader. Dasan v'Avidan were from the tribe of Reuven. They held that they're the ones who should be the leaders. The 250 members of the Sanhedrin, or the ruling class, were firstborn, and the firstborn thought that they are the ones who should be the leaders. So what you have over here is a coalition of people who all want to stay in power. They all want to stay in power, but each one doesn't want the other one to be in power. I don't have to go any further. It's unnecessary to say that, except if you want to understand the Malbim, read the morning papers, that's all. Just read the papers. The unbelievable number of interests that are all at clash and in collision with one another. I have a feeling it's though like it's the government against the citizens of this country. We're the innocent citizens of this country with a coalition of forces that are really in complete opposition with one another. Which would have meant the following: in the event that, God forbid, Korach would have won. You know what would have happened? That's when the fun really would have begun. Then the infighting between all the groups would have been, they would have imploded. I mean, I think we're watching a process of implosion taking place right now. It should be the Mehavri or Mainish. No. I can't wait for tomorrow.
I'm not sure.
Just that Claudia is sleeping right outside. I can't wait. There's also something, you know, the cowards also. The cowards. So he says, in Machloket Shalom Lishem Shamayim, the Malbim says, is because of Avas HaKavod, love of honor, Avas Atzmo, self-love. Everybody sees himself as the only one who can really run this country. Oz Yesh, I'm reading, you don't have to look at Oz Yesh Machlokas, and there's a difference of opinion for Nigud. And there is opposition within this coalition of forces who, from the outside, you take a look at them, they've all gathered together, one solid force against Moshe. It's not such a solid force. It's a force that's torn apart from within. And therefore, Moshe is not party to any of this. So therefore the Mishnah is beautiful when it says a machloket l'shem shamayim is machloket between Shammai and Hillel. And the machloket shelo l'shem shamayim is the machloket of Korach v'Adoso. That's the real machloket within that group of rebels. But I want to deal with two of the rebels. If you'll take a look on the second column up at the top, really Pasuk 12 in the English, Vayishlach Moshe Likro L'Datan V'Laviram B'nei Eliyav. Moshe sent to call Dasan V'Aviram, the sons of Eliyav, Vayomru, and they said, Lo Na'aleh, we are not coming up to see you. Rashi explains that Moshe is trying, even though the situation is fraught with great danger, he wants to negotiate, he wants to talk, he wants to see if he can nip the rebellion in the bud. Korach was not ready to talk to him. And Korach was not ready to talk to him because wisely, Korach understood that Moshe Rabbeinu would wipe the floor with him in the debate. Korach didn't want to talk. But Korach didn't say anything. He just didn't respond. Over here, he sends to call for Dasan V'Aviram. And they send back an answer. And they said, Lo Na'aleh, we're not coming up. We're not coming to talk. And now come two psukim. This first one, I've always described as the ugliest pasuk in all of Tanakh, from the beginning of Bereshis until the end of Divrei Hayamim, the ugliest pasuk in Tanakh. Hama'ati he'elitanu, is it not enough? Hama'ati he'elitanu mi'eretz zavas cholov u'dvash, is it not enough that you brought us up from a land flowing with milk and honey? God Almighty! Mitzrayim is Eretz Zavas Chala V'Dvash. Auschwitz is Eretz Zavas Chala V'Dvash. This is what they say. It's not enough that you took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey to cause us to die in the wilderness. This is also quite ugly. That Moshe Rabbeinu's intent was that they should die in the Midbar. L'hamiteinu b'midbar. That we should die. I think it's l'hamiteinu is more than we should die. That you shall kill us in the desert. Ki tistore, aleinu gam histore, that you seek to dominate us, even to dominate us further. Look what you did to us. You took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey, and it got us older than us. I mean, obviously the ugliness over here is there aren't enough words to describe it. Here is a term, Eretz Zavas Cholav Levash, a land flowing with milk and honey that God himself coined as the classic description of his holy land. To take that description and now tell us that that's Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, it's Eretz Zavas Cholav Levash. It's always, it's the same thing, just like today, you know, any problem that comes up in the world, it's a Holocaust. Everything is a Holocaust. It empties the word of all of its meaning. It's a Chilul HaKodesh. It's a desecration of a six mean Kedosh Mitahori. Everything is a Darfur is a is a Holocaust, a phrase, and Zimbabwe is a Holocaust. None of these things are great, but we coined a term for our own profound national tragedy, unparalleled in history. Look up! Find your own names to describe it. But don't touch ours that has been sanctified by 6 million. And along come these fellas, and by then, Zavas Cholav Levash, that's Mitzrayim, I'm saying. Maglek Hanik in Mitzrayim. Oh boy, was it a great. That's ugly. And then, of course, to accuse Moshe that he took them out of the land flowing with milk and honey in order to kill them in the desert. He gave some years ago a shir on why this pasuk even appears in Torah. I'm not going to go over that. Except, of course, to say that we have to be able to identify people whose ideas are ugly. Because sometimes I think we've been trained, or we think we've been trained, everybody's entitled to an opinion. Everybody can express themselves. You know, we're living in a society, you know, we're liberal, we're pluralistic, and you have to have respect for everybody's opinions. Also, Michael Zahn, there are opinions that have cost us thousands of lives. You don't have to respect every opinion. And you have to know that there are people who will say ugly things. And here is the classic ugliness of all. But now there are two things that I want to point out, and that will get us to the heart of this year. We're not finished with Dasam Vaviram. They're not finished speaking. They have another. They have something else to say. The next pasuk is Af lo el eretz zavas cholav levash aviyotanu. You haven't. Moreover, you did not bring us to a land flowing with milk and honey. Af lo el eretz zavas cholav levash aviyotanu. Vatitel lanu nachalas son of a kerem. You have not given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Ha'enei ha'noshim ha'en tenaker. Do you think you can gouge out the eyes of people? Do you think you can tell us all sorts of, make all sorts of promises and not keep them? What are you talking about? Lo naleh! We're not coming up! Alright, this is quite an attack. But I think that, to me, what's most significant over here is between the two sentences that are said by Dothan Vaviram, there's a sheni over there. The first aliyah of this Shabbos is going to end after the first sentence that was said by Dothan Vaviram. And we're not going to hear the second sentence until Levi gets the next aliyah. Why did we interrupt? Why did we interrupt their comments in the middle of what they're saying? I thought it would have been, I would think, I think it would be better. Let them finish saying what they're saying. Maybe add another pasuk or two, and make Shemi there. Why does Shemi have to be right in the middle between the first sentence and the second sentence of Daf of Avira? And then finally, right after that, it says Vayichal Moshe Ma'od, and Moshe was very angry. Vayichal Moshe Ma'od. Now you know I don't have always find place of things, so if you can just turn around your sheet, you know. No, the same sheet. No. First sheet. You see, there's a Rashi over here. First sheet. Oh, you have to make these sheets exciting, you know. Number three. It says Rashi. Okay? Vayichal Moshe Ma'od. Rashi's comment on Vayichal Moshe Ma'od. Moses was greatly incensed. That is, Nitzta'er Lav Av Ma'od. It distressed him greatly. Could you, please, this is a rhetorical question. Could you tell me what is Rashi adding to our understanding of the pasuk? Vayichal Moshe Ma'od. I mean, that sounds like he's very angry, right? And Rashi says, Nitzta'er Ad Lema'od. It distressed him. I would say that it pained him very much. It pained him very much. Obviously, what Rashi is telling us is simply, and this is true in all of Torah, when it says that somebody got angry, it always says who one got angry at. For example, when Rachel tells Yaakov, Havoli bon and give me children, the Imayin, and it's not me, saw nothing. So it says, Vayichar as Yaakov v'Rachel. Yaakov's anger burned against Rachel. When on the seventh day, by the snare, by the burning bush, God is pleading for 7 days with Moshe, go rescue my people. And when all of his excuses are over, he says, Shlachma b'yad tishlach, send anybody you want. You know what's meant by that response, that last response of Moshe? Shlachma b'yad tishlach, send anybody you want. It means, why don't I want to go? Because. Because! Kacha! Kacha! Because! Vayichar av Hashem b'Moshe. God got angry with Moshe. Over here it says Vayichar, but it doesn't say who he's angry at. It doesn't say Vayichar Moshe b'Dasam v'Aviram or Vayichar Moshe b'Korach. And more than that, it says Vayichar l'Moshe. So Rashi is telling us that there was no outburst of anger. You might not even have been able to tell on Moshe Rabbeinu that he's upset. You couldn't tell a thing. But inside, Nitzare La'ad L'ma'od, wasn't really anger. It was deeper than anger. It was pain. Inside he was pained. All right. Now I want to take you to two different places in Torah. And then we're going to begin to get two places in Torah that are commentary on this story. Back of the first page. Back of page one. I'm taking you to Parshas Pinchas, just a few parshas down the line. We're going to Parshas Pinchas. I just want to interrupt for a moment. There have been a number of people who've come in since my announcement to turn off cell phones. If you have a cell phone on, turn it off now. Please, now. I'm taking you to Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas Pinchas, there's going to be a census taken of all the Jewish people. And God said to Moshe and to Elazar the son of Aaron, Su'u et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael. Take the number, take a census of the entire assembly of the children of Israel from 20
age 20 and above, according to their father's houses, all who go out to the legion in Israel, those who go to war. Moshe and Elozakon spoke to them on the plains of Moab, Yarden Yerecho, by Jericho, along the Jordan. We are now talking Parshas Pinchas. You know where we are right now? We're 38 years later. 38 years after the Korach story. And Jews are finally at the Jordan. They're preparing for the thrust into Eretz Yisrael. Now we have to have a census. We have to know how many Jews there are. The Ben Ezra, the Shon of Amala, for at least 20 and higher. Kashet Zivashem as Moshe, as God commanded Moshe, Ubin Yisrael, Hayotzim Yeretz Mitzrayim. So it begins, tribe by tribe. All I want to look at is Reuven. That's it. That's Reuven. Reuven is Bechor Yisrael. Reuven is the firstborn of Yaakov in Yisrael. Bnei Reuven, the children of Reuven, were Chanoch, Mishpachat HaChanochi, Lefalu Mishpachat HaTalui, Lechetzron Mishpachat HaChetzroni, Lechami Mishpachat HaKami. Each one of the children created already a family with many children, grandchildren. Eile Mishpachot HaRuveni, these are the families of the Ruveni, Vayib Kudeyem, how many were there? Shlosh of Abba Mela, 43,730. Ubnei Palu, Eliav. Children of Palu were Eliav. Ubnei Eliav? We're not told who the children of the others were, but we are told about the children of Palu, and that's Eliav. And who are the children of Eliav? Nemuel, the Dasam Babiram. And now, this is a census. The psukim that you're going to see here will not appear by any of the other tribes. Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zulun. There's a comment that's made over here. And we are told, who Dasam Babiram? You know that Dasam? Those are Dasam Babiram, Kriyei Ho'edah, who were summoned by the assembly. Asher Yitzu, Al Moshe Vel Aaron, who contended against Moshe and Aaron. They incited, Hitzu is they incited against Moshe and Aaron, Ba'adat Korah, in the community of Korah, Ba'ad Sotam Al Hashem, when they were really inciting against God. So here it is in the middle of the census. Torah has to tell us who Dasam Avinu were, and they were the inciters. And the earth opened up her mouth, and swallowed them, that Korah and Korah, the Mota Edo, when that community died, when the fire consumed the 250 people, the Nais, and they were a sign for all of Israel. Why is this here? Why is this here? The next pasuk is even more difficult to understand. Ubnei Korach lo mesu. The sons of Korach didn't die. Now, we're talking about the tribe of Reuven. If you want to tell us that the sons of Korach didn't die, tell us that when you count Levi. Ubnei Korach is from Levi. Why do you tell us by Reuven that the sons of Korach didn't die? For that matter, why do you tell us that here? Why didn't you say it to us in Parshas Korach? Why didn't the Torah Parshas Korach tell us that Bnei Korach didn't tell us? So we have a classic. I consider it a classic Orach Chaim HaKadosh number 5. I'm going to go through it quickly. I'm going to read and I'm going to translate. Tzorech Ladas, we have to know, number 5. Ma bolam deinu v'manazeh, what is the Torah telling us over here? V'im lahodiyah ki hein heino ha'amurim v'basa korach. Does the Torah really come to tell us that Dasam Aviram, they were the ones who were part of the rebellion? We know that already. It says it in Parakas Korach. We know that they are the part of the rebellion. Because nobody, it didn't occur to anybody that maybe it was another Aliyav, and this Aliyav had children called Dasam Aviram. Can't be that. So we know the information. So why do you repeat it? The ode, mi karo lo hayo lo laskiram, v'hoyu ki lo hayo ki shaha mishpachot shesofu tamu v'lo nimnes. They died. You're counting living people now. You're not counting the people who died. Are they going to do it by any of the other 11 tribes? What are you telling us about people who died? We're talking about Levin and Gemetz. Yes.
But no, who does counting? How are the leaders appointed to trust the people with the census? In other words, how does one count?
Usually they said that everybody had to give a coin, and they counted the coins. Because we don't count Jews.
Right.
We don't count Jews. We don't go 1, 2, 3.
Right.
You can go Hashia Sarmecho Varechus Nakosecha Nish Eins Nish Tzvei Nish Drei Poo Poo Poo. You know. So they give a half a shekel and they, or a coin, and that coin is counted. They counted the coins. Huh? Well, it says it was done by Moshe and Elazar, the son of Aaron. They were appointed. And I'm certain that Moshe didn't sit counting coins. He got a few Baitchiglich, you understand? A few Kindle from Ezra or Pirchei Agudas Yisrael, it's got to be balanced, or Bnei Akiva. And then you told them, here, count. And they counted.
Why
does it have to tell us over here that they incited Ba'atzotam Hashem? The Nidah here. You know what he's going to say? I'll tell you straight up what he's going to say. Dosan Vaviram were the ones who were behind the entire rebellion. It's called Korach's Rebellion. Korach was the front man, the ones who created the dissatisfaction, the ones who began the process of arousing anger against Moshe, were Dosan Vaviram. They were the ones who were guilty of the entire rebellion. The Nidah.
The pasuk is only coming to tell us they were the cause for the whole Korach story.
Because God wants to make known those who are evil.
We should know who are the causes of the evil that has been done.
The who own Rowan, that's why the pasuk says, who does on Baviran?
They're the ones. Pointing the accusing finger.
Perush asher hitzu, that they had incited others.
Al Hashem u'Moshe Avdo.
And so Rashi says,
from this we learn,
Shehem ha-machtim ha-edo ha-no-edes,
they are the ones who caused the community to sin.
Ve'ef shishikam et korach ein hefetiyu.
They may very well have been the ones who also caused Korach to be incensed.
You know, you get somebody to be the head of the party, you know, you need somebody who's, maybe in a little mishpucha to Moshe, you need a front man. You find somebody who has reason to be upset with the, with whoever is in power. They found Korach, and they turned Korach into the nominal, titular head of the rebellion. But the brains of the rebellion, the anger came from them.
The Hagan Shekosov, even though it said Vayikach Korach,
beginning of the Sedrich says Korach took, like he seems to be the guy who's running it all.
Shenira Shemiatzmo also, it seems as though he did it himself.
Efshe Shehoyah Lamasha Kodem Lomehem Ulolam Heim Hitzuotov.
Torah doesn't have to tell us what took place before. There may have very well been
all sorts of discussions, because listen, all of a sudden, how does Korach get to Dosan Vavidim and Omban Pelos and all of the rest? there must have been enough murmuring going on in the camp, and you begin to know who's for and who's opposed and who's angry and who's upset. And then it says that the earth opened up. Why did it have to say over here that the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them? It's in Parshas Korach. Why is it repeated in Parshas Pinchas? Nitkaveh Lomas Orachaim says the intent was that you should know Korach and the 250 who were swallowed up into the earth was because of Dosan Gavira. The whole purpose of hearing Pinchas is to place the blame on Dosan Gavira. They were the cause of all that took place over here from beginning to end. They are the ones. For the Madatar, from this we learn, the fact is, if not the Dosan Vadiram, there could have been a peaceful end to the rebellion. The only ones who maintained it until the end were Dosan Vavicham, and they brought everybody down with them. This next column, Vizel Chahos, Kiwish Moshe Lohoya Mishtab Ladatsos Elohim. How do we know that they were really the ones behind it all? Because the only ones who Moshe calls and says that they should come, it's only them who he attempted to appease. As it says, Vayishlach Moshe, and Moshe sent the crow, the Dosan Vavinon. And it says, and even says later, Vayelach Moshe, and Moshe went to Dosan Vavinon. She hear Yish, because Moshe felt Shabbahem, Tadova, Tolui, everything depends on them. Me'ato, Nachos, Kolamason, Tuyu, Vezor, Shone, the lives of all who were lost, only because of those two. And you know what? Arachai says, Yesh b'zavim utzchus, in a sense, you know what it's saying? Korach was very bad, but not that bad. He pales into insignificance before the evil of Dosan v'Avihum. And the 250, the Chaim Timsa. And then you're going to see what it says in Parashat Eked. I'm not going to read that now because I'm going to take you in a moment to Parashat Eked. I want you to go to the next piece, Ubnei Korach Lo Nesu. The sons of Korach didn't die, and this is written by Shevet Reuven. If you want to tell me that Ubnei Korach didn't die, say it earlier, or say it by Shevet Levi. Hodiah HaKosav Inyan Zeh Khan, the Torah tells us this here, V'lov V'kom Yikar HaMaisa, it's not told to us in Parashat Korach. It's not even written when they count the Levim. It's not even that's where it belongs. The reason for this is Kikan boil the Torah here wants to tell us that Dosan Vavidon were the cause of everything, and wants to, in a sense, lighten the load of guilt from upon Korach. That's why it says, Ubnei Korach lo metu. There was a schus in the family. Sons of Korach didn't die. HaKavona shezeh yagid, this comes to tell us the schus of their father, shelo shetofam chovo keterach sheshotach chovom shel dosan vavidim kol dotem liyosu mikra machlokis. By Ubnei Korach lo metu, it's not the Ubnei Korach that we want to be told. What the Torah, the whole purpose of everything the Torah is saying right now is in order that we should know that the real guilty ones were Dosan Vavicham. And proof that they were the real guilty ones because they and their entire families were destroyed. Korach, Bnei Korach lo metu. Bnei Korach didn't die. Yes?
Yes, but
that actually brings that they did tshuva before the that's a source when you have children who do tshuva. Dosan Vavidon's children didn't do tshuva. What it really means is what's being said now is really the introduction to what's going to come in Parshat Eked. And I remember By me, my whole entry into everything was saying came with Parsha Eker. Okay. And you'll see how that had great influence on me. Parsha Eker. Now remember, all this is 38 years later. 38 years later. You might still ask, why weren't we told this earlier? Why not earlier? Well, we'll see. Yes. They were the two Jews who were fighting with one another. They were the ones who told Paro that Moshe had killed Dimitri. The list of Avedas of Dosan Vavicham is spread through a major part of Torah, but that's not it. Parsha Eker. Last page. Second page. Okay, be it datem. You should know today that it is not your children who did not know and who did not see the chastisement of Hashem your God, His greatness, His strong hand, and His outstretched arm. I'm talking to you now. He's talking to the generation that is going to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's near the entry to Eretz Yisrael. Now, they were alive during everything that took place in Egypt. They weren't age 20 at the time of the miracle, but they still remember a great deal of what happened in Mitzrayim and by the Yam Suf. It's not your children that I'm talking to that did not see God's chastisement as God loved His greatness, as Yadol HaKazoko, His strong hand, Uzro O Hanatuya, and His outstretched arm. You're not your children, you're you. And you saw Egototav, His signs and His deeds. I should also the talk about signs that He did in Egypt to Paro, to the king of Egypt, and to all of his land. And you saw Vashe also Lechel Mitzrayim, what He did to the host, the army of Egypt, to His horses and to His chariots, that He brought the waters of the Yam Suf flowing over them, the rock from Acharechem, when they pursued you. Oh boy, you saw that. You remember that. Vayabdei Mashem, God destroyed them. Ad Hayom Hazeh, until today. Vasher also Lachem Bamidbar, you saw everything that God did for you in the desert. Ad Barachem, until you came out of Amokom Hazeh, until you came to this place. The next pasuk blows your mind. You know, you saw, you experienced, I should also the Dosan Vavinam, yet what God did to Dosan Vavinam, the sons of Aliyav, the son of Reuven. I should possess a heart as pure that the earth opened up from Alpha Tiblaim, there's Bataim, there's Olim, and swallowed them up with their houses, with their tents, there's Kola Yukum, I said the Raglaim, and all that belonged to them, the Kedat Kol Yisrael. No mention of Korah! How does he do this? Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to the generation that's getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. You remember? And he singles out Dosan Vavinam, what God did to Dosan Vavinam. Korach doesn't even enter into the picture of it. Ki einechem harois es kol ma'aseh Hashem agor l'asher ozo, your eyes saw all the great things. U'shmartem es kol ha'mitzvah, you should keep all of the mitzvahs and you will inherit the land that you go there. Pasuk 9. And Pasuk 10. Focusing in on that. Ulaman tarichu yamim al adama, you should have length of life upon the land. Asher nishba Hashem lavotechem latet land, that God swore to your fathers to give to them. Ulezarom, to your children, eretz zoras chalav udavash, land flowing with milk and honey. Watch. Moshe's not finished speaking. And we have a shishi over here. End of one aliyah. Next aliyah is going to begin. Ki ha'aretz asher atavosh shama l'nishta, because land that you are coming there to inherit, lo ke'eretz Mitzrayim hi. It is not like the land of Egypt, asher yitzasa misham. It is not like the land of Egypt from which you came from there. Asher tizad zar acha, where you plant, where water comes from canals, like a vegetable garden. But the land, Eretz, Ha'aretz HaKadosh, come over and Shama Ladishka, the land that you're going to inherit, Eretz Horu B'Kod, it's a land of mountains and valleys, L'Tara Shomayim Tishtemayim, from the heavens you drink water. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Dodesh Otah Tamid, a land that God always seeks and is concerned about. God's eye is in that land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Do you know what's happened over here? I'll tell you what happened over here. 38 years earlier, Moshe Rabbeinu had heard, and all of Israel heard, the ugly statement of, "You took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey." Mitzrayim equals Zohar's Cholam Udvash. You haven't brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu understood? Before he dies, he's going to have to explain to them again that they should know that Eretz Zohar's Cholam Udvash applies to only one country on the face of this earth. Not to Egypt. What Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned about for 38 years is the negative influence of those terrible words that were uttered by Dothan Vavihon. And he knows, he's tucked it away over here, and he knows the day is going to come, the moment, at which he's going to re-educate the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu is the great Mechanach. He waits for an opportune moment. He knows that as they're going through the desert, and that most of them, or many of them, are aware that they will never enter the land of Israel, they're all going to die in the desert. That's not the time. That's not the time. Do you know who he's going to have to talk to? He's going to have to talk to that younger generation. They heard those ugly words. Therefore, he knows that he must teach them the meaning of Zohar Kol HaVidvash, and he has to let them know that there are light years of difference between Eretz Yisrael and Lahavdil Eretz Mitzrayim. Do you know how brilliant these Jews are? I say that there was an inherent Ruach HaKodesh that both in Parshat Korach and in Parshat Ekev is an interruption between two sentences. In Parshat Korach, this week's Seder, after they had said that Mitzrayim is Eretz Zavas Chalav Advash, and the next pasuk they're going to talk about Eretz Yisrael, Seh, Klal Yisrael said, Lahamu, we can't talk about Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Mitzrayim in the same breath. Stop, and we'll start again. And when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people 38 years later, there's light years of difference between Eretz Yisrael, which is Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Mitzrayim, Lahavdol, we stop, Shishi. And only after we've spoken about Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Yisrael, only then can we continue and say, it's Loka Eretz Mitzrayim, it's not like the land of Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu, master educator. He knows the time, he knows the place, he knows what has to be explained. They have to emerge from this and knowing that one was darkness and cruelty and depravity, and the other is a land, Asher Enei Hashem Elokecha Bo, the eyes of God are in that land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. But there's still another problem. Moshe Rabbeinu, what? He's forgiven Korach. So Korach is not as big a rasha as Dothan Vavihon. Okay, you know, there's a super Russia, there's a mega Russia, you understand, there's a hipper Russia, but they're all the show. I mean, Korach is still Korach. He's still Korach. You listen to Moshe, it's as though Korach didn't exist. He's telling the story of the last 40 years to this Klal Yisrael that's ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, and he tells them, you remember what happened at the Red Sea. You remember what happened all these years in the desert until now. You remember what God did to Dosh and that the earth opened up and swallowed them. Not a mention of Korach at all. I mean, Korach doesn't exist. Korach wasn't an adversary. Korach wasn't, call him at least, one of the leaders of the Great Rebellion. Why not? You want to take a chance? I'm working on it 25 years. Yes?
Method of educating, because the sons of Korach were still alive, and he did not want to shame them with the remembrance of what his father had
done. I'd never have thought of that. She said that, listen, since B'nai Korach, didn't die, so he didn't want to embarrass the sons of Korach, who most probably, the Enigluch of Korach was standing there in the crowd. That's pretty good. I can't like it too much because I think I have a better answer, but it's pretty good. The answer that I've given is the following. Number 7 is a letter that was written by the Or Sameach that Meir Simcha HaKoyim advanced, the Or Sameach or the Meshech Chachma. It was written in 1921, and I want to read, this is only part of the letter, but it's a classic in our time. Hinei May Oz Hikir Ha'echot Avram Avinu Izvaro, from the time that the one and only Avram recognized, discovered the existence of God. Hoya Kosher Kol Tikvato V'Havtachato V'Hamchilo Et Eretz HaKadosh Olavanav. All of Avram Avinu's hopes were inextricably bound up with the idea of God's promise to him that he will give Eretz Yisrael as an inheritance to his children. V'holach loli orko l'rahba, Avram Avinu walked through the land to its length and its width. V'not ha'eshel, and he planted an orchard. V'achrav Yitzchak, and following Avram came Yitzchak, and what did Yitzchak do? Zorabo, he planted. V'chof ha'beit od mayim, and he dug wells of water. The Chen Yaakov Bonabayit, Yaakov built a house there. The Chol Pizgat Tikvatam Haita, Ki Bneyam Yeshvu Be'eretz HaMeriyah. The peak of all of their hopes was that their children would be living in the land of the Meriyah. Umiyom Matan Torah, Seinu HaKadosha, and from the day that Torah, Holy Torah, was given, Lo Posta HaNevuah Miletzavot HaYishuv HaAretz, prophets always commanded on the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. Ve'en l'chol parsha shavat Torah shelo nizkeret b'Eretz Yisrael. There's no parsha in Torah which Eretz Yisrael is not mentioned. Ve'av b'mitzvah shel chovat haguf, and even the mitzvahs that are on the body of a person. Many mitzvahs says ki yiviyacha, when God will bring you, ki tovo, when you come. Asay mitzvah kedesha tovo el aretz, do this mitzvah so that you should come to the land. Ve'ad b'mitzvos muskolos, even the intellectual mitzvot, v'na'akot b'chol makom b'chol zman, even those mitzvos that apply in all places and at all times and are intellectual and seem to have absolutely no connection to the land whatsoever. For example, kibud av ve'em, the mitzvah of kibud av ve'em, honoring father and mother. What's the reward? The reward is l'man yadichin yomecha ala adama, so that you will have length of life in Eretz Yisrael. All of Torah is Eretz Yisrael. These next three lines are the ultimate of my answer. V'hikvid Hashem yizbarach al kvod haaretz yotem al kvodo.
God was more concerned with the honor and dignity of Eretz Yisrael than with his own honor and dignity. Kiviyachol, so to speak. Shabasiyat ha'egel, when they made the egel, acharei shuvam, after they did shuvah from the sin of the egel, which was an assault on God himself, machal ha'nachol yisrochu, God forgave them the sin of the egel. Vayinochan ala rosh, edigal asof, and changed his mind about the evil that he had said to do. Valhotziyam divas ha'ores, but when they spoke Lashon Hara, the Nechagim spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, Vayimasu be'eretz chemdo, they rejected the desirable land, Nishba Hashem v'leyanechem, God swore and didn't change his mind. K'moshe nema, as it says, Al Talu, Moshe tells them, don't go up, ki ein Hashem b'kivichem, because God is not your mitzvah. You understand what the Meshech Chachma said now? The Jewish people sinned two major sins in the desert. One was idolatry, the Egel Azor. The other was they rejected Eretz Yisrael. God forgave them the sin of the Egel, didn't forgive them the sin of the Meraglim. Why? Because the sin of the Egel was an assault on God. God, you know, let him, it runs off my back, that's okay. I don't take that, you know, I can handle that. You know, I can handle that. God can forgive that. But when there's an assault on Eretz Yisrael, then God does not forgive. You know what I say? Moshe Rabbeinu was not only the great teacher who knew when to teach what to the Jewish people, he was also the great student. The great student. What was the difference as far as Moshe was between Korach and Dothan Vaviram? Korach was an assault on Moshe. Dothan Vaviram was an assault on Eretz Yisrael. Moshe does precisely what God does. Korach, an assault on me personally, I can handle it. Dothan Vaviram are an assault on Eretz Yisrael, no forgiveness for that. Precisely, he is acting exactly as God himself had acted. That's why, of course, and with Talmidim of Moshe Rabbeinu, you understand, so we have to act in the same way. So when this guy, who now his name will remain, we won't have to mention his name, this fellow who wrote these Dosan Vaviram letters to the Jerusalem Post, so therefore it got me all riled up. If he would have attacked me, no, I can handle that. But he attacks Eretz Yisrael, says we're all a bunch of losers. We're not going to come live in a country where all are losers. And you got a lousy governor there. That ain't no place for a good Jewish boy to... That's no place for a good Jewish boy. An assault on Eretz Yisrael? Then you have to... You have to act and you have to respond. And that's why I had to let him know that the last time I looked at Torah, I didn't see any mitzvah to live in Highland Park, New Jersey. I didn't, no place I couldn't find. I couldn't find Highland Park, New Jersey, any place. But I did do see, as the Meshech Chachma says, I do see Eretz Yisrael in every parasha in Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the great Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu is the great student. Korach was an assault on him. Moshe didn't feel that his ego was so gravely in danger. Korach, you made a terrible mistake and you paid for it. But Dothan Vaviram, who did call Eretz Mitzrayim Eretz Zavat Cholovet Rosh, that's an assault on the That's an assault on Eretz Yisrael. Assault on Eretz Yisrael, he does not forgive. That's it.